What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Avery.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I promise I will get better at lying to kids. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the Fit in the Mighty Ducks Podcast. We are back. We got another episode review, episode 3 of season 2, entitled Coach Classic. Not going to waste any time. Very curious. I think I have, I think I liked last week's episode a little more than other people, and I think I disliked that this week's episode a little more than other people. But I'm interested to see just your opening thoughts, Kevin, on the episode.
So I think this might be, save for like the Spirit of the Ducks episode, I think this might be my favorite episode of the series.
Interesting.
I thought it was that good. I thought it was just so good from start to finish. There were a lot of great one-liners, a lot of just like funny hijinks. The story was good. Like the A story, I think advanced a good bit. Mm-hmm. And I loved this episode. I thought it was really good. All the kids were great. I don't think there was like a bad performance. I really enjoyed it. I like laughed out loud multiple times, which I can't say about the first two episodes this season. I just thought it was really, really a fun episode of television.
Wow. All right, Tommy, your thoughts.
I'm definitely going to be more with Kevin on this one than you, Mike. And so I would have to go back and kind of like rewatch season one, but so I can't really say definitively if this is like, you know, the best non Spirit of the Ducks episode, but I really liked it too. I also really liked the, you know, I think once Rich Eisen got there, it was like, it really put it over the top.
That was a great cameo.
And the B plot with like the candy, like that was good. Like that was really good. And having like the group separated really worked, and really you kind of had three dynamics with Evan and his mom, and you had Coach Cole and Jace Cole, and then you had the candy,
and then you had Sophie floating around as like a utility player too.
Just kind of like connecting everything. And so I thought it was just like a really well constructed episode, and it seemed like they really kind of, you know, flex their muscles in this. I would say my one critique is that it was, again, it felt a little bit short, but I think all of these episodes are, but we'll get into it. It's just, I really liked it. I wasn't kind of like, okay, how much time is left in this one? It was, pacing was very good. I liked it. And I was able to kind of overlook some of the, you know, man, these kids are getting their asses kicked by, NHL players, which is
great
funny.
But I
loved Rich Eisen in there essentially being, you know, like, you know, 12 to 4, those coaches must be so proud, you know. It was very good.
I wasn't like I disliked the episode or I hated the episode. I thought it was good, but I didn't like, I would probably take episode 2 over episode 3. Maybe the concept for me was just a little hard to get over, like the college coaches playing these kids, and then it's 12 to 4, and then one Coach Cole switches teams and immediately makes it 12 to 12. And I don't know, I think it was hard for me to get over, like, okay, these NHLers are going to play all out and still be tied with these kids. I did like, you know, the betting storyline was good. The Sophie thing and Jace, I liked how we sort of got more out of Sophie and her sort of burnout and that kind of stuff. So that was good. The Cole and Jace was fine. I thought that was, there were a few moments that were a little cliche in there. And then Alex and Evan, I feel like it's something we saw before. So that was probably where I was kind of like, all right, I'm sort of over this little relationship there. So that may be where my negativity is coming from, mostly.
I think that's a fair point. Can we talk about kind of Jace and his dad's relationship first?
Sure.
First, I think we did a good job kind of predicting, and I guess it was good storytelling in the last episode, like we're going to get more about Jace. And I guess him, he was like actually a really good player, and now he sucks, whatever, he's got the yips, you know, he's got a glitch in his shot, that's good.
Holy shit, does he have the yips? The worst case of yips I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yips with a capital Y.
Yeah.
And the one, I guess my one big critique of this actually would be, it seemed like all of Jace's lines when he was talking to his dad was just repeating his dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you go back and listen to it, he says something like, oh, this is an example. It's like, oh, you're not even trying. It's like, oh, am I supposed to be trying? It's just like, what do, can we get something else? You know?
Okay. Since we're talking about it right now too, can we just talk about how Coach Cole seems to be a very supportive father?
Like, yeah.
Like, he's not being an asshole at all to him. Like, he is trying to encourage him. He's, you know, like, maybe I guess forcing him to be the camp and stuff is a whole other issue, but like, he seems to be a very like good supportive father, which is just funny whenever like yeah. Jace just throws it back in his face. And I don't know. I think that's kind of a weird thing that is a little off with that story, but yeah,
he's not raising his voice or anything now. Of course, yeah. Jace mentions like, oh, all the pressure you put on me, whatever. And so maybe it's something where he is trying to like, you know, recalibrate, because he's like, oh shoot, you know, you can do it, you know, that kind of thing, which is good. But it is clearly like, you know, Jace needs to be working with a sports psychologist kind of thing. But yeah, Josh Duhamel, good again. Jace, you know, I think we'll need to see. I think judgment is still out. That might have just been because, again, I didn't love his dialogue in this episode.
I do think that kid, I've said this before, but like, I think he's a really good actor. I think he's good at what he's doing, but I agree. Maybe the dialogue is just a little off.
Yeah. Yeah. Naveen Paddock. Yeah. I thought he was really good in the last episode when he didn't have too much. And then this episode was a little worse, but again, maybe he had a little less to work with. Yeah. The Cole thing is interesting because he just wants him to get out on the ice and get over his stumble. And I definitely get, like, okay, maybe forcing him to be at the camp and then rigging the system to get him onto the team. That's a lot of pressure. And then doing it in a very public way, maybe not the best move. Maybe he, you know, has tried before, though, to do it privately, and Jace doesn't want to do it, so he has to get him on the ice. But, yeah, he was, like, on the other team holding his own teammates back for Jace to take the shot, and obviously it didn't work out, but interested to see where it goes there. We had Cole versus Jace. Anything else on that before we move to, you know, the next arc or so?
So I guess connecting the two, we've got Sophie seems to be some kind of, you know, I'm glad that we got more of Sophie and kind of more about her talking about the pressure her parents put on her and like her getting like the PSAT book. You know, that's good. That's the Sophie we know. And like, you know, we were last episode, we were like, what's going on? Like she, you know, this whole season one dynamic, it's like they're ignoring it. But they're definitely kind of setting up again as I think one of Kevin who predicted it officially is, you know, some kind of rift between Evan and Sophie, and maybe Jace is, you know, Mr. Steal Your Girl, you know, so that'll be interesting to follow over the next couple of episodes. But I want to make a prediction right now, and is that Jace's shot is either cured or kind of, you know, fixed by learning the knuckle puck from Russ Tyler.
Oh, I like that.
That would be good. That would be really good.
Not Fulton? Because we've seen Fulton enough. Like, we know that he might come back. You know what I mean? Like,
knuckle
they
puck
could
time.
Have filmed this already.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Fulton is in Minnesota tearing down the Ice Palace. So I like Russ Tyler lives in Los Angeles, or he did.
All right. I mean, of course, I'd love that. I'm just, I was going to say something about the Jace and Sophie.
Her pizza chain is always like on the outside. They're making that very clear. So maybe the next episode,
right,
it'll be.
You're diving into some serious symbolism here. All right.
It. She's going to give it back, you think?
No, next episode, it's going to be tucked inside of her shirt. Mm. And then she will not wear it in the next in like the episode after that. And then she will give it back to Evan.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I really liked the like Evan death stare where it's like,
at
you know,
the end,
where he sees them like flirting and whatnot. But I wrote down that like jealous Evan is going to go on a warpath. Like he's going to start crushing this tournament or this camp. Like he's going to, you know, be a top three player just in spite of Sophie.
I like it. Or I like it. Despite Sophie. Yeah, that's
well, let's
a good
talk
point.
About Evan and his mom then. Mike, you mentioned like, hey, we've gotten this before. I actually liked Evan and the actor Brady Noons, like, hey, you said you were gonna not be my mom and you were doing this or whatever. They did make up at the end, which is, I think, typical for their relationship.
Right.
But I did like the tension between them, because I want Evan to be like, you know, fuck off, you know, can you just like leave me alone? And like, you know, you'd think he wouldn't even be sitting with her, like watching the game.
Yeah. I like,
you want him to channel his inner teen Tommy.
Exactly. You don't know what it's like to be young.
Yeah. I did like it the fairly close to the beginning where Alex was like commiserating with him, like, oh yeah, you didn't get picked. And then Jace gave him the jersey and she was like, no, you're not playing. Like, she just switched it on him there. But yeah, I think it was mostly at the end where she was like, oh, I was wrong, you're right. I feel like that was sort of the same thing when she got super into it in season one and was like, didn't play Logan. And then she had to come back to Evan and be like, oh, I was wrong. Like, we should just have fun and whatnot. So that, yeah, it just felt like a little bit of a repeat of something we already saw instead of pushing it forward. But anything else on Alex and Evan before we sort of go into it here?
No, I think that about covers it. But it didn't feel as like forced as it sometimes does. So I think it felt a little bit better.
Yeah, I did think. How did you feel about Cole and Alex sort of having that standoff where they realized they agreed with each other?
I wrote down that I loved the romantic jingle playing in the background as they were going. See, it was like so painfully obvious that what they're trying to do. But I think their chemistry is like their on-screen chemistry is good.
Yeah,
I think that works. It's, you know, whatever. It's just like a an issue with the story focusing on that I have a problem with. But whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was very sort of Bombay-esque where, you know, Alex and Bombay were fighting and then they were like, oh, they started to realize, oh, they agreed on this thing. And then, you know, it came back. But it did sort of take a turn at the end when Cole finally was like, you complain so much here. I thought that was, I was a little curious why Alex was the only dorm counselor there and the rest of them were like actually coaches. And then, yeah, he gives her the whistle or whatever and says, oh, you're a coach now for the draft.
Okay, so I'm very upset about that scene because I thought we were gonna get a duck. I thought when he was like, we don't have much time for a search, and I thought it was gonna be, you know, Matt Doherty or somebody, you know, out of nowhere. And then I realized it was like, ah shit, they're just gonna promote her. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I should have seen that, but I got really excited and then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they should have had a duck and then had Alex be like an assistant. It's like,
wait a minute, that's Josh Jackson's music.
Right, right. That would have been incredible if he came in and then he was the coach of the Mighty Ducks drafted team. So we talked about Alex and Evan. We talked about Cole and Jace.
It also would have been amazing if Coach T had.
Coach T would have been incredible. Where he like he finally drove up there and was like, "Why didn't we get invited to this thing?" It was like, "Well, you're here. You could coach." That would have been. Yeah. I would have liked that maybe more than like seeing
an old duck. Or even just him coming back and then him having to coach like the Don't Bothers. That would be great.
Yeah, that would have been a nice twist. I like that a lot. The coach classic in terms of the actual game and the concept, did it annoy you as much as it did me that like there were these adults playing these 14-year-old kids?
Go ahead, Tommy.
I'm gonna say yes, like, and they should have done some kind of like, oh, we play 3-on-5 or something like that, but it's like, I understand it is kind of cool. It's like, hey, you get a chance to take on your coaches. Is it a good concept? But that's when like, if you play basketball against like your teachers who aren't like college basketball players, that's like a fun thing.
Right.
You know, but here it's like all these guys playing in the NHL or college, you know, maybe two of these kids will have like minor league careers that maybe could transition to NHL if this is like elite, you know, but wasn't in love with that concept. I liked that they were getting their asses kicked, but then like Mike said that it scaled back, you know, when, you know, Cole gets like a +8 in the third period, you know, just playing with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the concept like at all. The one thing I had an issue with is choosing the kids at random.
Yeah.
Oh man, it would be great to have.
That was like a plot device, but like, why? Like, why wouldn't they be the top 10 kids? That would make the most sense. Like that's what they do all the rest of the time.
Right.
Why now is it random? Like, I don't know. That bugged me, but whatever. It's a plot device. I get it.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was like, because I guess you could do, oh, we'll take top 10 and then you got to have them like fighting to get in the top 10. And then Nick, like, I'm going to get totally out, you know, like just stop moving. But I like the random. And I think it also makes it, you know, quote, more fair for everyone. But again, like Kevin said, that made it better plot device than just the top 10. Yeah.
I did like Evan and Nick opening the door, both rooting for different things. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah, like to Tommy's point, they should have had some sort of handicap or something where, you know, they were played like seven players on the ice or, yeah, 3-on-5, or maybe they were up by 5 goals or something. They could have done something pretty simple to make it a little more believable there, but tis what it is. And then, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to move on to Rich Eisen.
Okay, the only question I had is I wanted to stop. I wanted to pause. I didn't really have time. Did we see any coaches in the Coaches Classic with familiar names? I didn't. Did anybody stop and pause? I was trying to peek and see if there were any, maybe, you know, former Iceland players or anything like that.
Interesting.
Just as little
nuggets. The only name was Johnson,
right?
Like the guy who got hurt. And it was the coach who got
No. In the highlight video they showed.
Oh, in the highlight video. No.
Yeah.
The only sort of detail I noticed is Cole had a jersey like framed on his wall. And it certainly looked like a Dallas Stars jersey.
It was did. Like I noticed
victory
that.
Victory green jersey. And I was like, oh, did Cole play for the Dallas Stars? Which would make sense, I guess, if you want to tie it back to the North Stars. And then, you know, they moved to Dallas. So I did like that. But yeah, as we mentioned before, Rich Eisen coming on with the cameo. Very unexpected.
Oh,
I
so
enjoyed
good.
It.
I gasped. I was like, yes.
You
know.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is, of course, Steve Brill is like, he's in, you know, the Happy Madison camp, you know, with he's directed, you know, Adam Sandler movies before. And of course, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, those guys have like kind of had, you know, roles. And there's kind of always been like a little bit of that ESPN, ABC, Disney crossover with some of the more recent, you know, Adam Sandler movies. So it's great. Like that was a great get. I guess not totally not like, oh, I bet Rich Eisen's going to be in this, but it makes sense if you think about it. But it's also like Rich Eisen with some of the better lines in the entire episode.
It was like just line after line after line. So good. Like he was just fantastic.
Yeah, for our international listeners who might not know who Rich Eisen is, he is a sports personality, I would say. Was on Sports Center for a long time.
Kind of birthed like the modern sports caster.
Yeah.
Like or helped birth it.
90s like Patrick ESPN, like it was like the glory days of Sports Center with him, Dan Patrick, and you know, Stuart Scott. It's, you know, very recognizable, especially to like guys our age who grew up watching SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he has his own show. It's mostly focused on our lovely American football. It is funny because Josh Duhamel was on the Rich Eisen show ahead of the premiere. And I thought that's a weird way to promote, like, that seemed like an odd pairing to promote like a hockey show on the Rich Eisen show, but it all makes sense now. Yeah, so Rich Eisen comes on, and I thought he sort of redeemed the episode because he was self-aware that this was a ridiculous concept. So I did appreciate that as well.
Can we run through some of his quotes?
Sure, sure.
I loved the opening line when he's like, the coaches are heavily favored because they're adults.
That
was great delivery. Everything about it was great. And I liked when he said it's going to be a long night for the kids. Yeah. That one made me chuckle too. I think there was one more.
He said like, oh, I'm here because they paid me a ton of money. Or
yeah.
And he's like, who am I talking to? Are they even broadcasting this?
Right.
I can't see a light.
Right.
That was good. A plus.
Yeah. End of the first period. My favorite was the coaches must be very proud of themselves beating children 12-4. So yeah, Rich Eisen was good. How do we feel about
interaction with Nick?
Yeah,
was good too. And Marnie was great in that little scene. Nick obviously just did a lot of face acting, but Marnie was fantastic. She really was great the whole episode as well, as she just continues to crush.
Yes, Yeah, she snuck in there where she had to go get Jace to meet Cole and was talking about, which was the opening line of the episode, I promise I will get better at lying to kids. And then, yeah, she had he's going to have a big journal entry tonight when Nick met Rich Eisen. So good ones. Yeah, anything else on Rich, Tommy?
No, but I think he might get brought up again later in the episode.
Oh, ooh, foreshadowing.
There we go. I like that. Yeah, as I mentioned, Coach Cole really that good. Like, there's 12 to 4 or whatever. He switches teams, and he immediately brings them all the way back to a tie. Yeah, Johnson gets the knee injury. The only thing we've sort of alluded to but haven't really talked about was the candy bar betting thing. Yeah, I thought Maya was really good in that. How did you feel about the whole sort of arc of that storyline?
I liked it a lot. I'm a big proponent of doing side bets, but also giving odds to those side bets. And so I like that Maya really knew what she was doing. Wasn't so sure about those odds like going up as
right.
more people were betting on the kids. So it's like, I think Maya needs to go to bookie camp next summer. But I really liked it. And it was interesting, like, you know, kind of having that push at the end and then Nick paying it off. So, and I also think, you know, another prediction that we've already talked about this, but, you know, I was wondering if Maya was going to give Nick a hug or something, and that would, you know, send some butterflies. But her mentioning that she's on her second boyfriend was good. And I think like they might be setting up that, you know, maybe Nick will get a shot with Maya by the end of the season.
As I predicted already. Yes.
That is a bold prediction. I wrote that down too.
I said, Maya, Nick again. I definitely wanted to bring that up because I'm bold. It's going to happen. It's happening. Period.
Yeah.
100%. Lead pipe lock. I really liked the opening scene where they're all getting the candy. I thought the Nick opening his box from his mom's was great. I also called Liz into the room because that is absolutely something that like it's her parents, like they love candy, and her mom also always sends a newspaper clipping. Like anytime we see her, like she always gives us one. I thought that was a really funny line too. About
what were the
another school board treasurer, like whoever, that was a good line.
Miss Vaughn, what were the four candy groups he said? Because we might have to have another episode about this.
He said caramels,
hard chew, candies,
were caramels, chewies, and then hard candies, and then
yeah.
Were there nougats?
I forget what the other one was. Maybe gummies?
I don't know. We're going to have to go back.
We'll come back.
Fuzzy slippers for chilly nights was funny too.
We'll do a quiet question about the true like Mount Rushmore of candy categories.
Yeah. I like that. To send your kid to hockey camp. I don't like his line when they're like, Nick, you want in? He was like, it'd be good, like gambling with their love. That was a good one.
Yes.
As Tommy mentioned, the odds should have went down when everyone started betting on the kids. But I can excuse that.
They got greedy.
Maya's a little inexperienced as well, taking it. But yeah, how do
I was just gonna say, great line. Whenever the girl is one candy bar short and has the body wash, and she goes, "We don't accept body wash." And Coop goes, "Hang on a second," smells it, and he goes, "We will accept body wash."
Yeah.
And then it came. Great delivery from him. Great everything. Everything about that scene was perfect.
Yeah. And then it came back at the end when they're like, "Oh, what do we do?"
Yes.
And then, "We can't run that. They'll track us. I smell like watermelon." I thought that was a great line from Coop to call it back there. Yeah. Obviously, Maya was good. Coop was pretty good. How do we feel about Sam as we go back to Sam here?
It's just a passenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely got more chances this episode, I guess, which was good. I'm glad that happened. I think he was outshined by everyone else, but maybe that also was just they got the better stuff. I do like the three of them as like a team. I thought I liked where they're like candy fiends. I thought that was really funny. Like they're all just like zonked out on a sugar crash, but. I'm glad we're getting to see him more though. Maybe we'll finally get a little comeback here from him.
Yeah. And maybe if Coop didn't have such a breakout, we wouldn't be as disappointed in Sam.
Yeah.
But it is with a lot, like I am enjoying Coop every episode. He at least gets a line or two in.
I'm finally, I wasn't as high on Coop as you guys were in the first few episodes, but this one was great. He was fantastic.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we go to the awards for this episode?
No, I just thought overall, I liked the line where Maya was like, it'd be like if the U.S. beat the Soviets, and they're like, the U.S. did beat the Soviets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the only thing with that is I thought a little bit too quick on the delivery. And also, strange coincidence, I was just in Lake Placid, the site of the U.S. beating the Soviets. So weird. Wow. to see that.
They knew.
Like 3 days ago, recently.
I liked... we got to come up with a nickname for the candy fiends. Although I like candy fiends,
yeah.
But or the bookie crew or something like that.
I mean, you could just call them the Three Musketeers. That's
That's good. I like it.
That's why Tommy.
Damn, Tommy coming in hot. I really liked them rooting against the kids in the stands. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
A quick little bonus thing. Another thing that I thought was really good about this episode is the music was very good. I liked the music a lot.
Interesting. Yeah. I can't say I specifically noticed it, but it wasn't like a bad thing either. I feel like, yeah.
One question for Mike, and before we get into awards is, you know, we've talked a lot about the hockey and everything other than, you know, Coach Cole being like, shoot, you know, and he's got 6 seconds to try to wind up. You know, what did you think of like some of the action sequences for hockey? I liked it as someone who doesn't follow hockey as much.
Yeah, there was nothing that was like really like bad. I mean, other than Jay standing there for 5 seconds and Cole's like, shoot it. Like, you got to shoot it. And then he doesn't shoot it. Like, I like that he passed up his opportunities. That was a good way to like, that's something that I can see is very like sort of realistic in terms of someone who doesn't have the confidence to shoot. But yeah, the whole thing with the glitch in the shot, but I understand where they're going, so I'm willing to forgive that a little bit. And yeah, the time he had to just stand there and consider things was a little unrealistic. But again, I'm willing to give them leeway because I understood what they were doing. But everything else in terms of the hockey and how it all went down, I thought was really good. And again, Josh Duhamel being able to skate, I think, is a huge advantage for them. So.
Have you ever had a case of the yips like that, Mike?
I mean, no, not to where like it super affects my shot. Like, I've definitely had times where, you know, you make a bad pass and then you're nervous to pass or you're nervous to go up the middle again or something like that. Yeah. And I think Colin Cole was like, I think his heart's in the right place. Like, you just have to do it again. You have to have the do it. Once you do it again, you get the confidence. Yeah. It's not as big of a deal. So, I didn't think it was too bad. Just, you know, giving them leeway to help them tell their story. But let's take a short break here, and then we will give our awards for episode 3. We are back. We are going with our episode awards, our MVP, our LVP, and our quote of the episode. As usual, we start with the MVP. Tommy, who's your MVP today?
So my MVP would have been Maya, just because I really liked all the candy stuff. I thought she was very good in it. She really kind of shone during, you know, all the screen time she got. But I'm going to give it to Rich Eisen. I think that really pushed this episode over the top. His lines, his delivery. I really like when kind of shows and any kind of media will make fun of itself. And I was like, yes, they're adults playing against kids. They should be kicking the shit out of them. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, I bet you there are some other parts of the series where it's like a little bit of kind of like, you know, self-awareness breaking the fourth wall would have been good. Like, you know, one thing I didn't like is when Alex was like, I coached this team to the state championship, you know, last year, or whatever. It's just like, yeah, how much can we ignore Gordon Bombay? Like,
yeah.
And also, no, you didn't.
Yeah. And it's like, she could have been like, well, mostly myself, like a little line like that would have been right. Great. And so that's why I'm giving it to Rich Eisen with a very strong honorable mention to Maya.
Maya's a good pick. When I was trying to think of MVP candidates, I definitely overlooked Maya because, yeah, she sort of carried the whole side story there. My MVP was also Rich Eisen. As I mentioned before, I think he It was such like an out there concept where I was like, really? Are they gonna make us sort of believe it? And then he came in and sort of poked right at it and made fun of it, and I think that sort of redeemed it. So I'm also giving it to Rich, but Kevin, you're MVP.
I think we'll go unanimous here with Rich Eisen. It reminded me so much of like Al Michaels and Bob Costas in and Dan Patrick in Basketball. So which was just, you know, that is one of my favorite movies ever. I thought it was really good. I think my second place finisher would have been Coob, just because I thought he was fantastic, and I want to mention that. But I like Maya too. But I'm gonna give my weekly honorable mention to Marnie as well.
Yes, Marnie continues. She just doesn't have enough screen time. I wonder if
Yeah.
we get some sort of an episode like that's not necessarily Marnie focused, but maybe she gets a side story or something.
I could see her like talking a kid into like coming back to the camp or something like that. You know, if Evan or something, or even if like, let's say Evan and Sophie break up, Marnie's the one who's just like, hey, Evan, like you're a great guy, whatever. This is why she dumped you or something. Like having like a really good, like down to earth moment, or like getting someone back to where they need to be. I could see that happening.
All right, let's go to our LVP here. We'll go back to Kevin, your least valuable player.
I'm gonna go strictly from a gameplay perspective and go with Jace and like, come on, bro. Like, this is brutal. Like, this is like, I mean, like, I can't. I think that is one thing that bothers me a little bit about it. It's so far-fetched that somebody would be this bad in that situation. Like, he can still move the stick in a motion that makes the puck go forward. Like, come on, dude. Like, even if it misses by 6 feet, he can still hit the puck forward. I think that's kind of the thing that's bugging me about it. But yeah, I'm just gonna go with Jace for on the ice only. I think he's doing a good job as an actor, though.
I
I think
like
the
it.
character is good.
I like it. Tommy, you're LVP.
Man, that's a good argument from Kevin. I might need to rethink mine a little bit. You know, I'm gonna give it to Jace as well. And also I think my main sticky point though is still like I didn't like his dialogue. And to me, it was just a little bit kind of strange. But at the same time, you know, we were critical of Sophie like last episode, right? For like kind of the whole parent thing going, you know, missing. And then next episode, it's kind of redeemed. Okay, remember we're thinking of this certain arc, so we might get some more Jay stuff, or I know we will. But the next episode's called like Draft Day or something, so it'll be very, very interesting to see what these teams look like for like, you know, who Alex is coaching. Obviously, it's going to be the Ducks, but I wonder if Evan's not on the team, but Jace is or something like that.
Jason Sophie on the same team, baby.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I think Evan definitely goes somewhere else. And I think Alex, as we sort of preview our prediction, I think Alex has a chance to draft Evan and says, no, I'm going to let him be free. And then she gets Jace and, you know, whoever else, Fries and
Then it's
Gertie.
Cobra Kai season six, baby.
There you go. And then, yeah, my LVP though, back to LVP. I'm going to go with Alex just for the reasons I mentioned. I felt like she was repeating what she did in season one, and she didn't really learn from anything. So I'm going with Alex there. Quote of the episode. Oh, go ahead.
Quick note on Jace. I did have in my notes that he's channeling D3 Charlie a good bit.
Got the same haircut and everything.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Kind of a
Just
just
mopey and
moody.
yeah.
And you know, if you talk to our Quacklites, D3 Charlie was channeling D1 and 2 Jesse. So there's a whole line there. But that's another
The
topic.
Oreo line, Mike, is what it's called.
Oh wow! Well done. Well done. That's another topic for another day. Quote of the episode. I mentioned this one before. I did like Rich Eisen saying, oh, the coaches must be very proud of themselves beating children 12 to 4. So that is my quote of the episode. We'll go to Tommy, your quote.
Mine is from Marnie, and it was the opener from Mike. It was I promise to do better at lying to children or lying to kids, whatever exactly it was. But that was mine, and she that was like before all the Rich Eisen stuff. And you know how much I liked Rich Eisen's performance in this, so that's how much I liked that quote. That was very good.
Yes.
The full quote is, he knows he broke me. I'm so sorry. And I promise I will start, or I will get better at lying to kids. And yes, that was the quote of the episode.
There you go. There you go. Yeah,
in an episode full of great quotes, right. That was a standout among them.
That was probably my number two. So I can appreciate that. I can get on board with that. There you go. Episode three. We got 7 episodes left here, folks. This is exciting, but also, you know, possibly sad times. I always get nervous that this could be the end. Like, we waited so long for a Mighty Ducks reboot, and now it's here. Eventually it's going to end, and it's going to be sad. But that's time for a different – that's some thoughts for a different time. We got to stay positive here as we run through the 7 episodes. Chewie is back. Kevin's dog is back. He makes an appearance at least once an episode. So he got it in for this episode. Sorry, Chewie. My apologies. For us, thequackatech.com. Go there. Contact us at quackatechpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackatechpod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us your quote of the episode. Thanks to all our producers. Uche, I think, is still the most recent producer. Check out the Discord. A lot of people joining the Discord recently. A lot of discussion in there regarding these episodes and a bunch of other stuff. And remember, Ducks Fly Together.
Ducks Fly Together.
Bye. Bye.